Well, it's great to see you. Isn't church an exciting place to be? I love being church. And that means I love us being together. And we're in a season where the Lord is really emphasizing discipleship, so that's what we're going to kind of be talking about, being disciples of Jesus. And if we've decided, which I would say most of us have in this room, I don't know everybody personally, but a lot of you I do know, if we've decided to follow Jesus, to believe in him, but it means to actually follow, to respond to his call. Jesus has called us all to come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And you will know as well as I do that following Jesus means that we've broken away from the old life. To follow Jesus doesn't mean bringing the old life into the following. It means leaving the old life, breaking free from the world and sin and following all the things the world does and just following Jesus and doing the things that Jesus does. And you will know that as a follower, you don't depend on yourself. You depend on Christ, Jesus, who lives within you. Because anyone who believes in Jesus Christ, they're born again. They are new creatures, new creations. The old is gone, the new has come. And now Christ lives in us, which means things are changing. Go and say to somebody next to you, things are changing. Because Jesus, as we follow him and as he works in us and through us, is bringing constant change. You would only need to have a conversation with any true follower of Jesus in this room and know they'd be able to say to you, my desires have changed. Nod if you agree. My choices have changed. Nod if you agree. My plans have changed. Yes, it's true. Because Jesus is the one who's leading us, and so we're following another person who happens to be God. And one of the things that really radically changes, it isn't just us personally, but what radically changes is how we relate to each other and how we relate to unbelievers. That's not just me and God change, it's us. And there is a social change because Jesus is changing us in the way we relate. And Jesus, one of the things we're going to look at today that he is changing about those who follow him is that we are becoming servants. There's that word. Jesus actually said, the greatest among you will be your servant. And so to be a servant is actually to be a disciple or a follower of Jesus. Now that word is not that attractive in the world we've come from. We're in the kingdom, we're kingdom citizens now, we're followers of Jesus. But a servant isn't that attractive in where we used to live. Because you'd rather be a boss than a servant. You'd rather be sitting down eating a meal than serving it. In the world. And so it seems unattractive, it seems belittling to say that all of God's people, those who are called to follow Jesus, are all called to be a servant. Right. It sounds like we've got to take the lowest position. Sounds belittling. You feel less than. You feel unimportant. But Jesus says, in my mind, you're the best. Because it's totally different to the mind of the world. How the world sees what a servant means and signifies. And so to God, the greatest amongst us, can I say that again? The greatest amongst us are the servants. Now turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, and we're going to look at how a couple of Jesus' disciples called James and John, together with their mother. So you've got two brothers and mum. I love this. It makes me smile every time I read this. And it's Matthew 20. This is brilliant. Because what you see is often what you see in your own life. What you see is what you often see in my life. Because it's not you, you're perfect. But these guys were real followers of Jesus. But they were still needing change. They weren't yet perfect. And I actually like to see their mistakes so that I can learn from theirs rather than learn from my own. And so let's just read this, verse 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons, that's James and John, came to Jesus with her sons and kneeling down asked a favor of him. What is it you want? He asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. You do not know what you're asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? Yes, we can, they answered. It's remarkable deception. We're cool. We're as good as you. No problem. Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand or my left is not for me to grant. Those places belong for those for whom they've been prepared by my Father. Now when the 10, remember there were 12 disciples following, called, when the 10, the others, heard about this, they were indignant. I think that is totally miffed. Upset. Not happy. Cheesed off, whatever you want to say. They were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together. So he brought all the 12. So these guys are having a bit of a problem amongst each other. And Jesus pulls them all together. I love the way Jesus disciples. He doesn't kind of go and waste a lot of time on speaking one-on-one. He gets them all together. Said, right, you lot, I've got something to say. Yes. Love the way Jesus disciples. And he said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles, that's those who don't know God, are on the outside of the covenant, are not Christians, are not following Jesus. Unbelievers. You know those rulers or leaders lord it over them. And their high officials exercise authority over them. But not so with you. I love those minimalistic words. Not so here. It's not going to happen here. No, it shouldn't be like that with us. Not so with you. Whoever wants to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Now, to be honest, slave is a really tough word to receive from Jesus. God wants us all to be a bunch of slaves in the way we serve one another. It's a bit tough, Lord. Almost like, I belong to you, you belong to me. So together we serve one another. Because a slave belongs to someone else. They don't belong to themselves. Actually, we know we belong to God, but there is an understanding that needs to come into your mind and my mind that we actually belong to each other as the body of Christ. On earth, we are called the body of Christ. The church. The local church is the body of Christ, and there is, of course, the church universal. All over the world, we're called the body, the family of God, and we belong to each other. And Jesus said, 28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Jesus said, I am the one perfect example of a servant. I didn't come to be waited on. I came to serve. I came to serve God's purpose for people. I came to serve God's purpose for this world. I didn't come to be waited on. And God is saying that we're all to be like Jesus, as Jesus followers. Now, I have here a fantastic apron. Just let me put it on. One size fits all. And basically, Jesus was saying, when I came, symbolically, I put on an apron. I became the one who was here to serve. And I served you with my life. I served you, provided for you. And not only that, I laid down my life for you. I gave you everything, even to death. And I modeled what followers of Jesus in every generation are called to live as. It is one size fits all, and it's the servant size. And Jesus was saying when he was teaching them this, we've got to come out of the mind of the world and into the mind of Jesus as to what really is valuable. Now, of course, there are leaders. Some of you lead in your sphere, in your world. Maybe you're a boss or a teacher. Maybe you're a manager in some area. I'm called to lead this church with Pastor Andrea. We're leaders. God has put us here. And Jesus actually was saying to these boys who had a mum who really wanted the top position, she wanted the boys to be in charge, basically. She was saying, I want my boys to be in charge. Jesus was saying, you don't know what you're talking about. Because with leadership comes responsibility. Doesn't it? And with responsibility comes a weight, a load, especially when people who sit in another position that aren't leading begin to say, well, I wouldn't do it like that. I'd do it like this. How many of you have ever been a boss and you know your workers are saying, I wouldn't do it like that? Well, we know you wouldn't, but you're not leading. And so you should be more interested in supporting rather than having an opinion. Because mostly people who have an opinion about leadership only think of their own small little thing rather than the big picture. Yeah? And Jesus was saying, you don't know what you're talking about. Because you have to prove yourself faithful in little things before you can lead. You have to prove that you're actually trustworthy. And you're going to be faithful when you're not seen. And then I can promote you into the scene. Now, the world uses leadership. It's not servant leadership. Most of the world live to get what they want, don't they? What can I get out of my employees? What can I get out of this job? What can I get out of this place? And Jesus says we should be representatives of Christ in every sphere. So it doesn't matter whether it's at home, church, work, or the world. To represent Christ means to serve. Even if you are a leader, to serve. It doesn't matter what place you're given, wherever you're put, we're all called to serve. That's why I think Christian bosses, teachers or managers actually should be treating all who work for them or with them with respect, appreciation, listen to this one, and should pay them well. Not try and get away with overtime without pay. But they should treat them by doing them good. Okay, there's got to be some times where if you haven't got a worker and you've got a shirker, you have to deal with that as a leader. But generally speaking, we're here to serve and to be an example of Jesus in every sphere of life. Hello? And all God's people said, true. Another kingdom, another way. I remember, you know, in the early years when I started to follow Jesus, one of the hardest things for me to break off my life was being served. Where, you know, everybody wait to the last minute, who's going to go and get a cup of tea? Who's going to make the tea for the office? Anybody? And everybody hangs back until you're so parched, you get up. All right, I'll make the tea. And you go make the tea and you're like, next time they think, brilliant, if we last long enough, she'll always do it. Yes. And that's the way of the world. Instead of being at the right time, because it's got to be in the order of the business that you work for, when it's tea time, I'll do it. Like Jesus, he said, I'm here to serve. Hello? I'm here to serve. Let me help you with that. Is there anything I can do to make this office, this workplace a better place? Is there anything I can do to make this family better? Is there anything I can do to make this marriage better? Is there anything I can do to make this world better? Is there anything I can do to make this church better? And so, the apron is a symbol of a servant. And Jesus says, I came to serve. I paid a price to set you free. And he said, I want you now to serve one another. Now look at Galatians. Now we need the Holy Spirit to work this in our hearts today. Because this isn't law, it's grace. It's a message of grace. But it is very important that we hear what a true disciple lives like. So that we can say, as a follower of Jesus, that's my goal. Lord, work it in me so I can be a servant in every sphere of life. And I know some of you are sitting there saying, because I can do this as well. Well, what if somebody takes advantage of me? Has anybody ever thought like that? What if they take advantage of me? Well, first of all, my advice is that you serve God's agenda for that person, which is always to do them good. You serve God's agenda, not theirs. Okay? And that will actually inevitably stop you from getting actually eaten up by somebody's manipulation. Sometimes it's not God's agenda. You serve your teenagers by clearing up their bedroom. Hello? Sometimes it's God's agenda. Clean it up yourself. Good preaching, but some of you look at me like, you understand there's an overuse, and that is not God's agenda. It's actually being manipulated by the wrong kind of love. It's love in truth, not just love. It's not just emotions. Otherwise, we all get worn out on the wrong things. But Jesus came to serve God's agenda for people, and we're here to serve his agenda for people. And in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, Scripture says, you're called to be free. But don't use your freedom to indulge your flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Through love, serve one another. I think you would agree with me that we could say through the channel of love, love is the thing that makes serving different. Would you agree? So imagine husband or wife's birthday or friend's birthday, and basically you just can't be bothered, and lastminute.com, if you're a boss, you might employ your secretary to go out and buy a prezi, choose anything, I'll give you the money, buy me a card. So you write the card, you get this present, hopefully tell them to wrap it, you go home, darling, happy birthday. It's not quite coming from the right heart. And Jesus doesn't want us to serve with that obligation, that should, must, have to. Yes. Hello? Yes. He wants us to serve through the channel of love. And God has put His love in our hearts so that we all can serve. It is possible because of Christ in us to serve one another through love, not through obligation, duty, or have to. Is this good?
Yeah.
If downstairs our kids, now if you're one of the parents today, brought your kids to church, and our super kids workers were there like this, oh, can't be bothered with this lot. It wouldn't be good. I wouldn't want any of our kids to be putting up with that, because they're important to God. They're valuable, and they're valuable in the church. It's really important they find out God loves them and God's got a plan and destiny for their lives. It's really important that they know they're cared about, they're cared for, and there's nothing but positive coming from you to them, or from our workers to the kids. We want them loved, built up, blessed, don't we? When you come in on a Sunday and we've got a fantastic welcome team, wouldn't it be pretty awful if they were serving like this? Oh, morning. Didn't want to get out of bed this morning. Can't be bothered to be. I'm just doing my stint. I'm going to leave early if I can. It's just not what Jesus wants. And imagine the worship team showing up. Practice again. Got to get the sound right. This blimmin' sound. Get it in my ear. I haven't got it in my ear. Somebody give it my... It's too loud. Not loud enough. They resent. These guys are fed up. Imagine serving the Lord and the church because you're serving in that attitude. Wouldn't be good, would it? If you've ever been on the receiving end of a servant who resents serving you, isn't that awful? I love Jesus so much. When you read through the Gospels, if you read the moment when he cooked breakfast for the disciples, he had risen from the dead. He had sacrificed himself on the cross. And by the way, this isn't a male-female thing. It's a disciple thing. We're all to wear the apron. It's not gender or age. Age doesn't eliminate you. Neither does your gender. Please let's come out of the culture of the world. Please let's knock on the head. This women do, men do stuff. And we all are servants. And if we all serve, then life is going to be completely as Jesus wants it to be. Everything will improve. So Jesus is on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. The disciples are out fishing, not getting anything. And he's cooking breakfast. He's done everything for their salvation and he's still willing to cook breakfast. Flip me. Wow. What else can I say? Awesome. Mega. This is God. This is God who's risen from the dead and he's willing to make breakfast. Talk about go the extra mile. Did he love them? Yes. Did he want to be with them? Yes. And sometimes I think, We need a bit of a revival of what it really means to love one another, so that we're willing to lay down our lives for one another and wear an apron and not take it off just because we left a meeting, just because we left work. But we wear it day in, day out. It's who we are, not what we do. And because of who we are, it'll be what we do. I think that breakfast thing, our Lord and Savior, the greatest servant of all, even breakfast, guys. This is to blokes who always, you know, in that culture, bring the women in to do that, Jesus. No, I've come to break a culture. I've come to set you free. I've come to show you the way to live. How many marriages are broken up through male or female selfishness? You're here for me rather than I'm here with an apron on. Love would be in the air, everywhere. It's a new song. I'm telling you, love would bloom. People would love coming to your home. They'd love this church. They would love, love, love where you work. They'd be like, I love being with them. Isn't that what Jesus was, a magnet? I digress. Sometimes I think we need to be reminded. Let's turn to Ephesians. I need to be reminded because sometimes you get tired serving, don't you guys? And sometimes you have to watch that little bit of sin called resentment when people around you do nothing. It's one of the hardest things, isn't it? When you're, to use a, I don't care, this is what I'm going to say, bust a gut, serving everybody. And by the way, this is the place I serve. I'm called to serve here. This is my apron. And you're like, well, they just come, visit, leave. Come, visit, leave. Come, visit, leave. Come, visit, leave. Or do the minimal. And it's really hard, isn't it? When we've got servants in this house who stay, serve, go the extra mile, it's the hardest thing. When people bypass the serving option. Isn't it? But Jesus wants us to continually forgive. Because as he's been gracious to us, because we haven't always done it, we need to be gracious and merciful and continue to serve, even if others won't. Hello? Is that okay? But sometimes I think we need to remind ourselves of really what Jesus has done for us. Because everything comes out of love for Jesus. Everything we are and do needs to spring out of that fountain of love for Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 2, I'm just going to read these few verses. Ephesians 2 verse 1, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the desires or cravings of our own flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Paul is saying, if you ever have a problem with serving, just let me remind you what Jesus did and what we deserved. We were all dead. Following Satan. We were all dead following Satan. We were all sinners following Satan to hell. Wow! Let's remember. We were there. Let's remember what the Bible says. We used to live like everybody else out there who doesn't know Jesus. What's that indulging ourselves? Do I feel like it? I won't do anything if I don't feel like it. It's all right. I only do what I want. That's what the world does. If I feel like I want it, I'll do it. If I want to buy it, I'll do it. If I want to do that, I'll do it. If I want holidays, I'll do it. If I want to do that, I'll do that. I just live to please myself. We're all like that. Were we not? That's who we were. And that really is a definition of the world. We were following our own desires, following Satan, and following the world. But not now. God, wow! Actually, the end of what that life is, we face God, and we face the wrath of God. Now, that's a very old-fashioned word. But that means we get punished. If we follow that way, we get punished eternally. We're cast into hell with Satan and all the demons, tormented eternally. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love for us, but God saved me by grace. Come on. Look what he saved you from. Now, we're not saved by serving. We're saved by grace, which is unearned favor and blessing in Christ. Forgiveness in Christ. New life in Christ. A gift. But we are saved to serve. Come on, let's say that aloud. I'm saved to serve. And that is it. And if I remind myself of what I was and where I was going and what I was facing, that none of us in this room has got any concept of the horror. Jesus tried to communicate it. All the way through the Gospels, he speaks about hell. He speaks about torment. He speaks about the wailing, the ongoing torment of hell. We're not going because of grace that comes by faith. We're not going if we are following Jesus. If we are truly followers and not deceived to just pray a prayer. Hello. Come follow me, Jesus says, and I will make you servants like me. Like me. I had to tell you a testimony because it so impacted me. I'm using it for this morning's message. And it's quite personal, and I hope you don't think I'm saying it because I think I'm great. Because I don't. Whatever the Lord has done in my life, it's for him, the glory. Because I know without Christ, I'm selfish. Like you. I don't need to know that I needed saving. I absolutely know. I absolutely know. I could never live for anybody but myself without Jesus. And a few weeks ago, actually, I was struggling with quite a few things. And there's certain things going on. And, you know, I live for God's work and God's call and this church. I actually pour out my life to give you the best. I know there's better preachers. I know there's better places. You could go anywhere if you want Because in the end, you'll decide what you do. Some of you will decide on your own without God. You can do that. But I also know that, you know, I'm called. And I know this is the authority I stand in. I'm called to serve here. And I had an encouraging voicemail on my WhatsApp from a friend in Italy. And they'd been praying for me. It came through at 4:30 in the morning. I was like, it's not the time for the phone to go. And I hadn't got it on silent. It came, woke me up, and I was like already going, oh. Well, at that time you're thinking, oh, what's up? Not WhatsApp, what's up? And there was this, been praying for you. And we really feel that you need encouragement. And how God loves you. How the one line that I want to bring out from that voicemail was this. You wear the apron more than the napkin. They said, we love you because you wear the apron more than the napkin. What a comment. What's a napkin symbolic of? Sitting down to eat. Taking. And that's such a contrast, isn't it? What a compliment. I must say, it's one of the nicest things that anybody's ever said. It's all right, no need to repeat it. But you can use it yourself when you want to encourage somebody. Thank you, because you wear the apron more than you wear the napkin. And sometimes it's right to wear a napkin because you are currently receiving. You're in receiving mode sitting there, which is right. But we receive to give, don't we? And Jesus says, I actually expect you to serve one another. To go around and say, how can I bless you? What can I do for you? How can I make your life great? How can I help you grow as a disciple? What can I do for you? And imagine the whole church living as servants at home, at work, in Taunton and this area. Wow. Sometimes the greatest move of God starts, well, it always starts through a servant. Because Jesus came to serve, didn't he? And give his life for us. I have noticed the most unhappy people are always wearing the napkin. Are never given anything. Never serving. And they are the most miserable. The people fall into depression through self-focus. It's a trap from the enemy. Jesus wants us to live in freedom and to use the freedom that he's given us to serve one another. Wear the apron more than the napkin. Would the people closest to you say they wear the apron more than the napkin? Would your boss say they wear the apron? Would your faith group leader say they wear the apron more than the napkin? Your team leader, whatever you do. And the joy of it is, and I'm going to finish with this, and we're going to take communion together. You okay? Yes. Colossians chapter 3. What a nice thing to say, hey? But may it be a genuine thing, not a false comment. I'm saved to serve. Colossians, verse 23. Whatever, I wonder what that does mean. It's kind of an all-encompassing word, that, whatever. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. As working for the Lord, not for human masters. I love that. As working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord God Lord Christ, sorry, you are serving. Didn't Jesus say, at the end of time, there's going to be the sheep nations and the goat nations? Yeah? And the sheep nations are actually the ones who do things for other people. Because he said, you know, whatever you did for the least of these, my brethren, you did it for me. In other words, you're serving me. And Jesus said the goat nations, who actually could proclaim that Jesus, you know, where were you, Lord? They use the word Lord. But the goats were actually the ones who never did anything to help others. And Jesus said, depart from me, because you weren't there when I needed help. And this clearly says that wherever we are serving, I love to think, you know, that every person employed in this place, whether it's in the NHS, whether it's at school, whether it's a builder, an electrician, a teacher, a pastor, a designer, whatever we do, that we are there for the benefit of the company we work for. We're there to benefit them and do them good. Wow! Come on, church. Are we counterculture here? We don't try and get away with as little as we can get away with. Because we're working for the Lord. It's the Lord we're serving ultimately. He is seeing what we are doing. What an attitude change. I mean, doesn't it? I need to be careful what I say this morning. Isn't it upsetting when the church are so immature that they just expect everything to be there for them? They're just napkin people. And when that church isn't perfect, which you'll soon find out in any church, nobody is, I'm off. I'm gone. I've had enough serving there. Don't like it anymore. It's sad, isn't it, that we're really not following Jesus' example in the way that we continue to serve. And I believe with all of my heart that this needs to come out of love because of what Jesus has done for us. That he became a servant for all of us. And now it's our turn. We get to wear the apron. And actually, for all eternity, we'll worship him. That's all part of serving. Worship is serving. Sunday mornings is showing you serve God, not yourself. You understand that, don't you? Sunday mornings, for me, is a boundary that you don't cross. I serve God, period. You'll find me in the house. Period. I'm a servant of God, not of what everybody else wants or what I want. I'm here for God's agenda as a disciple of Jesus. Because I love him because he first loved me and gave his life for me. He was prepared to wear the apron, and so am I. Even if it looks like I've got the lowest job, and everybody ignores me, nobody values me, nobody appreciates what I do, when will they ever give thanks to me because of what I do? Jesus said, it's okay. I see it. And I'm a rewarder. I will reward servants. Love rewards, don't you? I want more rewards. I'm going for more of the serving. Even if people don't get it, my God gets it. Because he called me to it. And this is the joy of being a follower. And you will be the happier if you spend some time thinking about what you could do to help others. start to get some plans to serve. In the home, get some plans. In the church, through love, serve one another. See, God TV kind of cuts out the reality, doesn't it? I can just watch a program and it's just me and God. That's easy, guys. It's not discipleship. Discipleship is being with you lot. Even when you're grumpy, I'll serve you. Even when you look like you've eaten a whole kind of tree of lemons, I'll serve you. Even when you backbite and you say, I don't like that preaching today, especially if we've got another call to serve, I'll serve you. And if you've got the heart of God this morning, you'll say, we're here to serve. I'm on this earth to serve. It's my identity. I'm on this earth to serve. But not just serve with resentment or obligation, with love. So we're going to have communion this morning. Because Jesus did the ultimate giving. No man, let alone God, has ever given what he gave. And our God gave everything. Everything. So we could receive everything from him. And so when he said, take, eat, this is my body given for you. It wasn't like just a prayer. It wasn't just a heart thought, I'd love to serve these people. It was a physical giving. He poured out his strength. He poured out his love. He poured out his forgiveness. He poured out his blood so that we could live. And while we take communion, we're taking the napkin roll. Receiving. Because Jesus said, this is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. That is the maximum anybody will ever love you or pay for you. The blood of God's Son. And because of his maximum, I don't want to give the minimum. I want to serve him to the max. Shall we stand?
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith South West, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.